Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite and on time cousin. Cousin Shane, what's up, buddy? They didn't think you were going to show up.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Man, what a week in the SEC. Another coach fired.
Shout out. Not the right one, though. Not joking.
Offensive coordinator fired. Buddy.
Yeah, it was an absolute, you know, and it's crazy. That's the thing. When you commit to going to a game, you miss a lot of the action. You know what I'm saying? And so all night, last night, I'm watching it. And it was that same old thing I told you. It keeps popping up at the bottom, the Tennessee score. So it was just a constant reminder of how bad those Volunteers were last night. But before we get going, Mike, I got to give a shout out to my man, Bob. Here he is. He's the one that helped us get to this game. And I feel bad, brother. I feel bad. I probably should give a shout out to Pat, too. Pat was the one. He's a diehard listener. He's on here somewhere. But we had an absolute blast at this game, drinking cold beer with all the Sooner and Vol fans. I even got caught in the Sooner walk, you know. I was just kind of got wrangled like cattle. And then all of a sudden, I saw the Sooners coming. I was like, oh, man, I'm right here in the middle of it. But, hey, I will tell you, electric environment, fun game, great drinking cold beer and catching up with some cousins out there. So I appreciate each and every one that we bumped into, but Mike, it was a absolute shit show there in Knoxville, Tennessee.
What was the highlight of the tailgates? Just getting to meet the cousins?
Just
stuff?
Getting the hell out. No, I'm joking. The tailgate was the best part because obviously optimism was in the air. We thought, hey, we're going to have this thing knocked out in the third quarter. We'll all be able to get out of here early and maybe grab a bite to eat at Cracker Barrel on the way out, you know. But the tailgate was great. Drinking cold beer, meeting all the cousins. And this is the stories, you know. You hear some folks say, hey, we just found you this year. And then I've seen some, they were like, hey, we were there, oh geez, from the beginning. So it was just really good. And then, like I mentioned, Bob, he was a true trooper as well. He flies, man. I asked him, I said, what's the weight limit in those things? He was very, he didn't quite come out and give me you can't fly, but he does the flyovers, and obviously they're not doing that right now, but he'll be doing the Tennessee Vanderbilt. So you see that Blackhawk come through, just know that's our boy Bob there.
Oh wow. Hey, did you get to hand out any of that Tennessee legend?
I did and I didn't. I got to bring the bottles back home with me because I couldn't find them there initially. So I'll have to catch Bob and Pat at some point and give them those bottles. But I tell you what, I needed it. I needed this Tennessee legend to get me through the weekend. And I did see a lot of Sooners make it up there in Sevierville. And be sure, if you are in the area, stop in. Have a little tasting and tell the cousin sent you. Not only going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. So come on now.
Hey, so tell us, why'd you leave the game early?
Well, it wasn't so much early as it was just, yeah, I'm one of those. I've morphed into, and it wasn't so much me. I had two girls, and
I mean, Tennessee almost came back and won this damn game. Shane sent me videos of outside he's leaving.
I'm going to be honest with you.
They could have won there.
You ever thought maybe I was the problem? I mean, let's go back in history. The last games that I saw, the last time Georgia, before this game, I was at the Georgia game. Dolly Parton came out saying the radio wouldn't work. You know, nobody could hear us. Like, well, maybe I'm the problem. You go before that, you know, the other Tennessee game I went to with you, Mike. You remember that one? Ole Miss, mustard bottles and golf balls. So there for
a second.
Yeah,
but we didn't leave.
Well, maybe we should have. Maybe we're the problems, Mike. Hell, I was at the South Carolina LSU game, and how did that one end? You know, so I'm not saying I'm cursed, but
they're calling you low T Chain.
Hell yeah, man. Dude, there's no way Tennessee's gonna win that fucking game. I'm just telling you, it was just, I don't know what it is, and I know they call it Sooner magic, but no, it's battered Vol syndrome is what that is, man. We just absolutely, I knew, man, we're sitting there at 250 yards in the first half, and honestly, the only offense that Oklahoma has is John Mateer running occasionally, and right. I'm like, Dude, we're lingering. We're keeping this game going until Oklahoma figures out a way to win, and that's exactly what happened. I never felt like we were going to win. And that's the shame, Mike, that you could just go down the field, score a touchdown, get the ball, go down the field, and fumble it with the most worst tackle I've ever seen in my entire life, or attempt to tackle, and then next thing you know, it's 7-7.
Well, he's a tight end.
I don't give a shit what he is, Mike. I mean, the boy couldn't tackle. It shouldn't have been in that situation anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's just it was imploding in front of my eyes. It was terrible, man. It was absolute. Like I said, or Oklahoma hasn't had. I think you sent me that stat. They had like 4 turnovers this entire season. They had 3 in the first half. You know, so I mean, it was just some bad juju floating around in that thing. And maybe I was the problem. And I apologize if I was, but I did enjoy all the cold beer with the cousins.
Well, I'll give you a slight break from talking Tennessee, because shout out our guy, Liquid Game 5 memberships, Shane. I think he's feeling down for you. He's a Florida fan. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's hyped up because they're about to get Lane Kiffin, apparently. Shout out Liquid. He is gifted Shane Bentley. He just loves Shane's. Kevin Harper, Scott Fitz, Jay Qualls, and Hobby Hangout. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of our buddy, Liquid. All right, so now we got to get back. One other thing. Here's where we are on the pick of us.
Jeez.
Shane, you're falling to pieces over here. I know. Cousins and Steven still in the lead at 78. Cousin Glenn Warsaw, you know, he's hanging there with Steven. I won another week. I don't know how I keep winning these weeks, yet I'm still behind. I guess I was just that terrible to start with, which is accurate. But I'm right behind him. And Shane there in the rear, just like his Vols. Down again, Shane. But, what was it like to be in that stadium and Tennessee to be whooping ass? I mean, Oklahoma fans, I could see it in the mentions. I could see it from their media people. They were like, good God, we're about to get run out of this damn building. And also, I mean, I've been in the stadium many times, but I've never seen them run out the tee in the dark mode.
Mm-hmm.
That went viral all over social media. Can you give us how was that, first of all? Let me ask you that.
Pretty cool. I did dig that. That was pretty damn cool. I was sitting there. I was like, could you imagine General Nealon sitting here right now watching this? He'd be blown. His mind would be blown. And they had everything. You know, I think Peyton was there. They recognized the 1998 football championship team. Johnny Knoxville, for Christ's sake, Johnny came up behind us. I couldn't get a photo with him. You know, he was just in and out, but, they had,
you should have told me. I've got his number. I could have given it to you.
Well, I was telling him, man, I said, Bobby, you ain't gonna believe this, but one of Mike's first jobs was working with Johnny Knoxville. And what was that called? I said Dick House, but I think it was called something else, wasn't it?
No, Dick House.
Oh, yeah. So I thought so. And but long story short, man, the environment was elite. The fans were fired up. You know, I mean, it's been raining here all week. Coming in, we finally had some pretty days, and it's almost like we all got to come outside finally, and you could just feel that buzz. But it's just something, man, something in this game. It just felt like we weren't supposed to win it for some reason. Every good break we had, 2 bad things would happen. And kudos to Oklahoma, man, for sticking it out and somehow finding a way to win this thing, because you're right. It was a tale of 2 halves. That first half, Tennessee kicked Oklahoma's ass, except on the scoreboard. And speaking of kicking, old Daisy Duke, what's his name?
Tate Sandell, man. Yeah. Sandell for Heisman.
Tate Sandell. Yeah, that's all. He barely hiding that thing, wasn't he? He was coming out there in them Daisy Dukes kicking that damn thing. And I said, he goes, that's 55 yards. I said, dude, this man kicked 60-yarder last week. I said, that's nothing to him. And, man, shout out to a kicker. A kicker don't get a lot of praise. And obviously we're going to criticize his pants selection. Him and Sapp down there in Florida need to get their shit together. But I'm telling you right now, that kid, elite. I wish the NFL go ahead, take him, you know, so we ain't got to see him no more.
Tied for the longest field goal in Nealon Stadium.
He did it twice.
History. I know it.
He's like, hey, you like that record? You want to see it again? I think he looked at me straight in my eyes when he kicked that last one.
Hey, shout out Michael Dunlap. Shane, he gave us a donation. He said, Shane ain't allowed to complain till he's watched Shula coach
fair.
Offense
That's
for
fair.
Several weeks in a row. But thoughts on, Oklahoma once again saved by the defense, and that was a big reason why I picked him, Shane. Defense travels. Mm-hmm. I thought they would have a big-time edge on Tennessee's offensive line, And that I think that certainly was the case. 4 sacks, 8 tackles for loss. Tennessee couldn't run for shit. Yep. 63 rushing yards on 35 attempts. That was critical to this ball game. Obviously, the turnovers were critical. You know what I noticed? I mean, I'm not trying to troll the guy, but
yeah.
Hell, if you're going to troll the shit out of people, you got to be able to take it right back, right? So
yeah.
I haven't seen any Nico Joey Aguilar memes this week.
No.
Joey throwing some timely, inexcusable interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
What is the shine worn off on old Swaggular?
Well, I was afraid, you know, that there was going to be a moment when he tried to play catch it, when he tried to play hero ball. You know, we were told, I mean, when he came in that this is a gunslinger that sometimes gets in trouble, and he's gotten trouble at other stops just because he's not been on an elite football team. And I just don't think that moment has really come to a head, but it did last night. And this is a kid that, you know, had some really good moments in that first half, but it almost felt like the moment was too big for him there. Even a lot of catches that I remember Brazel several times having to reach back to catch some of these footballs. So he was just never really on.
Yeah.
But when you can't run the football, you kind of put all that pressure on Joey. And that's exactly what happened here, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And again, shout out to John Mateer showing up. You know, it was a weird game, Shane, because I tweeted this out at halftime. I felt like if Tennessee could avoid the mistakes and finish some of these drives, they'd be up by 20. But I also said, hell, if Oklahoma had any semblance of an offense, they'd be up by 20. So I don't know how to break this damn game down, but Tennessee defense showed up in the first half. Oklahoma's offense showed up in the second half.
I'll tell you this, Mike.
Yes, sir.
If this was really close to being people out on Arbuckle, because I saw, say what you want, man, that was some terrible play calling. And Oklahoma playing against this defense, a defense that has been ran through by many, multiple football teams this year. For some reason, Oklahoma's best offense was their quarterback running the football, which is a shame because you really could have had a field day here. And, I know it's on the road, and we've talked about the electric environment, but I'm telling you, if Tennessee didn't make those offensive woes, I feel like we'd be sitting here talking about how bad Arbuckle was Saturday, because this offense was the line of scrimmage. That's the only thing I will say about it. Well, you mentioned the defensive front, but that offensive front finally getting at it too. There's some videos floating around. Those boys were fired up, but I don't want to overlook that. But there was several questionable calls I saw from that Oklahoma offense.
Oh, wait, Oklahoma's cheating? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, dude. I ain't saying nothing.
Don't start that. Yeah. Don't start that.
I never said cheating. No, I was talking
you're saying
about
questionable
offensive calls.
Like holding on Oklahoma?
Calling.
Okay, I got you.
No.
I thought you meant like they were holding.
No, Tennessee lost that fucking game. I'm not doing that.
Okay. Hey, shout out Mike Andrews. Shane, did you bet him $50 on a game? I don't remember that.
I don't know. Did I win? Because if so, yes.
No, he's saying no. Oh. He's an Oklahoma guy, so.
Oh.
He's saying you owe him $50, but I don't remember that. But
yeah, I don't either. We'll have to clip that one. Send that to me, Mike.
So, hey, we talked a lot of Tennessee. How about Oklahoma now?
Yes.
Because this was a big-time question I was getting last night on the power rankings. We're 7-2. We're 3-2 in the SEC. We got 2 weeks to prepare for Alabama, and I realize that is a monumental ask. Alabama, I believe, is number 4 in the polls. But what are the odds now that Oklahoma's done this, that they can make the college football playoff without Alabama, again, 2 weeks to prepare, Missouri at home, LSU at home, LSU's in shambles perhaps. I shouldn't say that. We'll have to see what they look like with an interim. And then Missouri, they've got A&M coming up. They've got some tough games here.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Oklahoma, and credit to them, winning on the road, their playoff hopes are alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down. I mean, a bye week is important for them. I feel like getting rest, getting healthy, you know, but going to Knoxville, beating a top 15 team, I feel like, especially with all, I mean, again, you got to understand this was an electric environment. And, right. And for them to do that and not rattle John Mateer like we were hoping we would, I feel like that gives them enough confidence as a launching pad going into that Tuscaloosa. Now, you get past that one. Not saying you can. It's going to be a tough, tough football game. You'll be underdogs in it. But now, then you'll have two home games. This schedule, as daunting as it is now not looking as bad. You know, definitely that Oklahoma, it feels like they took a big step forward this weekend.
And those, I mean, and real quick, we don't have to, you know, do a complete breakdown on all these scenarios. But again, I kind of dismissed it. I gave them like a 15% chance of beating Bama.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, Shane. Well, I mean, what defense have they played? Alabama, that is.
Yeah.
That's anywhere the caliber of Oklahoma.
No.
You know, not normally you'd say, well, Georgia, but Georgia, they're questionable on the defense. Missouri, I think they are very underrated. So I mean, that may be your answer.
But yeah, Missouri probably. That would be the best one.
So again, I'm not like totally discrediting Alabama or anything, but maybe this is a better game. Again, 2 weeks to prepare. Bama will be coming off an emotional LSU matchup. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Team to watch, Oklahoma. Now, Tennessee. Now, this is kind of where I wanted to go with the dark mode, and now we're getting all kinds of, oh, buddy. Our Tennessee fan, I think it's just emotions. Emotions riding high.
Yeah.
Expecting a win. Big-time atmosphere. Inexcusable to lose that game. Now they lost two in a row, two at home this season. And our buddy Brooks Austin, God, he's battling. He's battling Vol Twitter this Sunday, Shane, on just all these Vol fans out on Heupel saying they deserve better, this, that, and the other. And he's saying, well, just look around the league, man. Look at Auburn. You think, what would Auburn give for Heupel? I think the best point he's made is, what the hell would Tennessee give prior to Heupel to have, oh, my God, a 9-win season? Let's burn this whole damn thing down.
Yeah.
Where do you think all this angst is coming from? Is it just because Tennessee got eliminated from the playoff and they were expecting to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you went into the season thinking 10-2, kind of the ceiling. We didn't say, there were some homers. I didn't think that. I mean, homers, we're talking.
Yeah.
10-2, 11-1, you know, just based off the schedule. If we could split the Georgia-Bama game, or even if we lose the Bama-Georgia game, you know, we should be able to win enough, win the rest to get into the playoffs. So I feel like that's where we're at. But the way that you won was the frustrating part. It was the Mississippi State, how tough that was, how Arkansas was almost squandered, you know? So there was even the wins. I feel like that's why Tennessee's kind of bringing this baggage, because they're not seeing high T Heupel, you know, they're seeing that low T. But you know, you got to realize this team's not like teams in the past. There's a reason. Have you seen how bad our defense is? We want to limit those possessions, you know.
Right.
We're extremely thin at wide receiver. Well, we want to slow it down so these guys aren't just dead by the time. I mean, how many times we see Staley go down, and how many times we see, you know, I mean, our wide receivers are, they need a break, you know what I'm saying? But I think when you don't realize that side of it, you just want that 2000. Everybody wants that 22 back, you know, just go more faster, you know, we've got it. So it's just we're chasing it, man. We're chasing the dragon, and we're not going to get it this year, unfortunately. But I do feel like Josh Heupel gives us the best opportunity to see it again. It's just, it may not be in 2025. So let's pump the brakes. Let's not fire the coach. I mean, hell, I was part of the camp that wanted Philip Fulmer out, and we saw what happened when Fulmer left, right? There was a lot of shitty coaches come through Knoxville, Tennessee, and they're out there waiting for an opportunity, and maybe they look good at an SMU, or maybe they look good at a Memphis or something like that. But when they roll into Knoxville, Tennessee, if they can't compete with the big boys, then all of a sudden we're stuck with his ass for 4 years waiting for the next guy. So I think right now, pump the brakes. Let's let Heupel do his thing, because I do remember the decade of dysfunction, you know?
Now, I say all that, Shane, because I think the assumption, just based on the schedule, New Mexico State at Florida and Vanderbilt at home.
Yeah.
A lot of people assume, okay, well, 9-3. But shit, what if they lose to either Florida or Vanderbilt? I mean, if people are calling for his job now, again, I think Vanderbilt's really good. We're about to talk about them. They may be petering out, though.
Yeah.
And Florida, with the interim fired coach, I don't think – I don't think fans are going to, even though, hell, you can't win down there since 2003. I don't think fans are going to excuse that one. That's when we, again, I don't think he's getting fired or anything, but that's when when this nonsense will get even louder, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. And it could happen right now. If Tennessee plays the way they're playing, there's no way they beat Florida and there's no way they beat Vanderbilt. So, you just need to anticipate that, but we got a bye week. We got a very winnable New Mexico and you beat these guys, you get some rest, get some bodies back, then yeah, I feel like you can end this thing on a positive note. And that's all you need, man. You need to end the season strong and yeah, playoffs may be off, but you know, a New Year's bowl game isn't, you know, there's still a lot to play for.
Well, you know who the playoffs not over for, Shane?
Who's that?
Vanderbilt and mighty Texas. I mean, hell, Vanderbilt's still alive too, but they didn't look alive on Saturday, Shane. 34-31. Them Longhorns, Shane, still alive. And if you missed this game, the final score was very deceiving. I mean, Texas came right out here and punched Vanderbilt right in the mouth, scored on the opening possession, opening play.
Yeah.
Ryan Wingo took it to the house, 75 yard. And I just felt, you know, I didn't think the game was over, but I was like, oh buddy, this is going to be a long one for Vanderbilt. And then when Texas jumped out quickly to 17-0, I knew it was over.
Yeah.
Because Vanderbilt is just not built to come back. But, you know, they made a valiant effort. They scored a bunch of points at the end. They were kicking on sides. They damn near got a couple of them. But this is the, again, Arch Manning, Shane. He's looking better and better each and every week. Offensive line, they're kind of getting that figured out. Arch had 328 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But they won the rushing battle 100-58. That was critical. Defense getting after his ass, 6 sacks. I don't believe Pavia had been sacked 6 times on the season, yet that's how many Texas was able to get after him. And all of a sudden, Shane, sleepy old Texas, we got 2 weeks to prepare. Then we got Georgia. I'm just saying, what's your thoughts, Shane, on Texas waking up on offense and the defense being how they've been all year? And this is probably their best win of the season.
Dude, Texas drives me nuts, man. 3 quarters, I'm like, they're back. And then that last quarter, I'm like, are they, you know, I really thought Texas was going to run them out after you said that 17, they just jumped on them. Couldn't be in a better start for Texas, you know, having that opening, getting the ball back off that fumble. You know, I really wish it could have been 14 points because this thing really could have opened up, but hats off again to Vanderbilt, just being scrappy, just fighting, literally on the sideline and everywhere on the football field. You know what I'm saying? This was a damn dog fight, but yeah, Texas, you could just tell, brother, have that home field advantage. Yeah, I don't know, just you could feel like there was a lot of emotions in that locker room, especially after that Mississippi State game. This is one that this is a new outlook. This isn't an angle that they look at college football. They're supposed to come out here, put people away and talk about, you know, postseason. And now they're fighting for their lives. So I think the best thing that could have happened for Texas is to have a couple early losses, because right now we're getting the best Texas football we've seen in a while.
How much did it surprise you, if at all, that Texas came out here and kind of dominated Vanderbilt early? Cause I remember you picked Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
to win this game, and you know that was not a bad pick. I mean, hell, this is a top 10 team we're talking about here. But did it surprise you at all that Texas was so dominant in the first half?
I wouldn't say surprised, just because again, a lot of it. I mean, when first play of the game was 70 yard touchdown. I mean, how often does that happen against Vanderbilt? So, I mean, that's one you don't anticipate. Pavia fumbling, you know, on their first series. So, I mean,
to your sorry to cut you off. To your point, like Vanderbilt's whole defensive scheme is to not give up the big play.
Exactly.
Because they know they can't out-athlete you, but they just don't get beat over the top. Of course, they didn't get beat over the top. They got beat on the side there to miss tackle or two. And Ryan Wingo, they don't have anyone that can catch up to them. So, again, that's why I was saying, man, when they got up a little bit, It was lights out early for, even though they did fight back, it was lights out early for them.
Well, and I mean, this thing came down to a damn onside kick that almost was recovered, you know? So
just like last year, literally the same thing.
I know. So I think the scare is good, you know, but Vanderbilt's now in that spot, and it's crazy. I mean, Mike, we're in November, and now we're at the spot where we're saying, well, if they win out, they're still in. I mean, both these teams can still make the playoffs. And right now, I'm looking at this schedule, and there is not a losable game for Vanderbilt moving forward.
Yeah, Vanderbilt remaining schedule. Auburn at home. No, they just Auburn obviously just fired their coach. They get 2 weeks to prepare for Kentucky. You don't need 2 weeks for Kentucky, but you're getting 2 weeks to prepare for Kentucky, which really you can spend half that week getting ready for Tennessee, and then you're at Tennessee. So
yeah.
That could be, and I mean, it's funny. Oh, Shane, it's funny how much shit I take for being so right. But remember, I said Vanderbilt, Tennessee. It ain't gonna be a playoff game for both of them. It's gonna be a playoff game for one of them, and I think it still will be for Vanderbilt. Thoughts on that?
I'd love to ruin the state championship. You know, you talk about ending on a positive note. Pavia's last game in Tennessee, big loss. That would be enough for me.
How about this though? Because I've seen this floating around out there.
Yeah,
obviously Texas. I remember we talked about this all last week. They're still alive for playoff. That's obvious, but I didn't realize they're still very much alive for the SEC championship.
Yeah.
But could they make it, Shane? Could they make it at 9-3? And before you say no, keep in mind, if they go 9-3, that means they have to beat either Georgia, or A&M, which A&M's not lost a game yet.
Yeah.
And the thing being, Shane, I didn't realize this. So Vanderbilt was a top 10 win.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma's a top 10 win. And again, Georgia or A&M, if you literally have to beat one of them to go 9-3.
Yeah.
We're talking Texas would have three top 10 wins.
Yeah.
So at 9-3, not that you're guaranteeing it, but I think there's a case to be made for Texas to get it, considering one of their losses is the undefeated number one in the country. I think at 9-3, a case could be made for Texas to get in.
Yeah. Yo, and the case needs to be made, right? I mean, we're going to have that tough conversation at one point because, you know, we're going to a 9-3 or not, you know, a 9-game SEC schedule soon. So, I mean, we're going to have more losses in this conference, and we don't need the severity of punishment for that loss shouldn't be knocked out of the playoffs. So, yeah, I know Indiana doesn't want to hear this conversation, but they had Texas's. They'd be sitting there at 8-4 themselves, probably, you know. So I'm right there with you, Mike. There's going to be a couple ball clubs. And if you can make the argument, like you said, how many top 10 wins? Three. I mean, if you've got three top 10, then why wouldn't you be part of that 12 that's going to get in there? Because clearly you beat three of them already.
Mm. Now, I'm not saying it's like a lock.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there'll be a case to be made. We'll have to see, you know, if the SEC's got like 5-10 win teams.
Yeah.
We ain't putting Texas in over, you know what I mean? But
right.
But again, I don't know that we're getting that, but I thought that was interesting to think about.
No, that's a good point. And I never thought we'd be saying about Texas either. as much as we picked on their schedule at the start of the season.
But saying all that,
yeah.
More realistic to make the playoff right now. But they both have identical records, 7-2 Texas, who again, they got 2 weeks to prepare, but they got at Georgia. That's going to be a hell of a difficult challenge. Arkansas at home, that shouldn't be too, but you can never count them out. And then A&M, who currently is undefeated and arguably the best team in the country. So Texas or Vanderbilt, who's got Auburn, then 2 weeks to prepare for Kentucky, both of those at home, and at Tennessee, more likely to make the playoff, Texas or Vanderbilt?
Right now, Vanderbilt. Yeah. The schedule. It's all about the schedule. And it's not – I'm not saying that about – I just feel like Georgia's going to be a tough one. Texas A&M's going to be a tough one. And if I could go to Auburn, a team that just lost a coach, Kentucky, a team that should get rid of a coach, and Tennessee – you know, we want to fire the coach. So, I mean, you go to those three in a row, I like your odds better than the path Texas has to take.
Right. Well, and speaking of not even odds, Shane.
Yeah.
But I like odds for the Cousins to save some money.
How do we do it?
SeatGeek! Oh. Come on, SeatGeek.com. Or just download the SeatGeek app on your phone. Shane, we are, man, it troubles me to even say this, Shane, but we are literally in the last month of the regular season. So maybe your team's like a Texas. All of a sudden, you look like you're playoff bound.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a Vanderbilt fan. Maybe you're a Tennessee fan who maybe wants to get rid of tickets. Whatever. Go check them out at SeatGeek. And don't forget, most importantly, that promo code SEC10 to get 10% off your full order of tickets over at SeatGeek. And it's not just college football. It's maybe you're interested in NFL or NBA. I think that's starting back up. And concerts, things of that nature. They got it all covered over at SeatGeek. So go check them out. And don't forget that promo code SEC10 over at SeatGeek or the SeatGeek app. Would really help us out, and it would save you some money. Maybe save you some money on maybe if you're an Auburn fan, you need some of this buyout money, LSU. I mean, there's buyouts to be paid too, Shane. So everywhere you could cut corners.
Yeah.
We're just trying to help you out, you know?
Trying to help you out. And it's always nice to see where you're at, how close you are to the concession stand, you know?
We had a question about that. What was your favorite? Did you get any good concession food?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. The hot dogs, they don't do the mustard I was telling you about. Yeah, the spicy mustard. I thought that was a thing. I didn't get any of that.
They're all out?
They just got regular mustard. I guess since the old Ole Miss thing, we just get little packs now. We don't get the bottles anymore.
Is there any shot they saw you coming and they were like, hide that shit from this guy?
No, the kids went, so they didn't even know I was part of this. And they got the Papa John's. We had a Papa John's pizza, one of the little ones. And I'll be honest with you, it tasted nothing like they really failed. They failed tremendously.
That can't be your best concession option, you know?
No. I mean, I hit it, you know, because I'm fat, but I did not enjoy as much. You know where the best food was? The tailgate.
Yeah.
Right over there, there's that parking garage, right? G10, I think is what, man. Those guys right there, they know what's up. That's where you get your food and drinks right there.
Well, you know who else knows what's up, Shane?
Who's that?
It's Damn, Texas Rick. A&M's Come on, Rick. Fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank
it's
you.
Texas A&M's biggest fan.
Got it on loop.
Thank you, Rick. He just gave us $100. Cousins, regardless of records, we are so blessed to have SEC football and that SEC podcast. I pray for all these young men to stay healthy. Best of luck till you play my Aggies. Apologies in advance to my Mizzou grad son-in-law. He is amazing. Beat the hell out of Mizzou. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yeah, and it is kind of sad when you think about it. We're in November. So, you know, you mentioned it. 3 games left. Well, I'm going to watch every damn game because it won't be long. We'll be done with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of done, Shane.
Yeah.
About done with these damn Razorbacks. What are we doing? Come on. But shout out Mississippi State for getting a win. First time in 2 seasons that Mississippi State's won a conference game, Shane. And oh, buddy, 38-35. I feel so, so bad for them Razorbacks, Shane. They had it. It was within their grasp here.
Yeah.
And they let it slip through their fingers. I mean, they were a scoring machine, just kind of like they were for a little bit there against Auburn. And then the fourth quarter hits, they turn into a damn pumpkin over here. And, you know, literally, this was the best, which is not saying much, but this is the best Arkansas's defense looked all season.
Yeah.
And then, again, they gave up 38 points. They gave up a game-winning touchdown drop. I mean, I don't even know what in the world to make of this game. I'm also done with the refs, of course.
Yeah.
Penalties, Shane. 18 penalties, 193 yards, which I saw a statistic. I'm probably going to butcher it, but it was something like this is the fifth most penalty yards in like 20 years against a team. So apparently Bobby Petrino said something, and he even admitted, he said, I said something to the refs, and then ever since then, it was flag, flag, flag. So I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, Shane, but if anybody's got a beef, it's some Razorbacks, but I don't want to take away from Mississippi State.
Bobby Pete, he hates officials, and he always has, and I don't know why it's that serious, you know, but for some damn reason. So, yeah, that's why he, you know, if you remember, that's why he said he liked the press box to keep him away from the officiating, you know. So, but, hey, man, at the end of the day, Arkansas should have won. How many times we said this? Arkansas should have won this game. Fourth and five, you give up an 18-yard touchdown at the end of the game. So, yes, there was moments when Arkansas could have extended their lead, could have won this game, but they didn't. And yeah, what are those things called? You ever seen you know, that movie Poltergeist with Carol Ann, you know, and uh-huh. that little lady comes in and she burns that shit through the house, you know? As soon as the season's over, they need to get like four or five of these little old ladies.
They need to do an exorcism.
Just get that evil out of that stadium, because it's crazy how all these games just kind of end in the bad for Arkansas.
Well, it's Sage is what Jake says. Is that
Sage? Yeah.
It's one of them.
They just run around with the smokes and, yeah, just saying their little prayers. Yeah, they need to burn it right out of that place.
hey, credit. I want to give this guy a shout out, because I was burning his ass for weeks here. But Jeff Lebby, again,
yeah,
finally got himself a win. And I know you were busy, Shane, so, you know, I don't know how much of this you saw. But so Blake Shapen, you know, again, game-winning touchdown, so I shouldn't take away from 242 yards, two touchdowns. But there was a weird sequence here where old Lebby put in Kamario Taylor, freshman, and he goes 2 out of 3 touchdown drives.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Lebby says, oh wow, we went 2 out of 3 touchdown drives. Let's put Blake Shapen back in. And he throws a pick. And you're like, good God, what are we doing here? We got a true freshman. We got a fifth-year senior. One guy, we know what we got. The other one, unlimited potential. But again, Blake Shapen won them the game. They caught fire. So again, I was blasting them more Jeff Lebby than anything. But he led three scoring drives there at the end to get them the win. And I saw someone put it out there like this, Shane. He said, this is good for both teams, right? Because Jeff Lebby gets himself a win. He finally gets over that. You know, he can win a conference game, and it's great for Arkansas, because they're not going to be cursed with Bobby Petrino moving forward. But again, now Mississippi State 5-4, it's still not a given, because the remaining schedule, Georgia at home, at Mizzou, and then you got 2 weeks to prepare for the Egg Bowl at home against Ole Miss. But they just need one win, Shane.
Yeah.
It would be so massive. I think for this is the one program, Shane, that needs a bowl trip more than any other in the conference, and they are on the doorstep of getting it done. You know, what are the odds you think that they can get it?
It's going to be tough, man. I mean, really tough, but possible, you know. And I'm glad you said that, because I feel like they're in that camp too, you know, because a lot of people, especially coaches, they talk, it's not so much about the bowl experience. It's about the extra practice that comes along with it, you know. Right. And you're right. A young team like Mississippi State, I feel like, could really benefit. But you're circling games here. Georgia, you know, we're going to talk about them here in a second. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. Mizzou, you know, who knows what their bowl situation or their playoff situation looks like at this point. And then Ole Miss Rebels, who know, Lane Kiffin may already have a U-Haul down there in Gainesville. So you just never know what's going to happen. But I feel like you got to go in trying to catch one of these teams. And I would say right now I'd give them, man, like 20% chance right now, you know?
Yeah. Well, hell, that's, I think they'd take that.
Yeah.
Given the off season, you know what I mean? Hell, I didn't think it would be anywhere. Now, similar question, but obviously more depressing. How about Arkansas? Chances that they win another game at LSU, they get 2 weeks to prepare, but at LSU, interim coach, maybe they implode. Maybe they get their ass whooped by Bama. At Texas, who knows? Maybe they lose at Georgia. And then they're like, God, playoffs are gone. I mean, even though we just said maybe it's not. But hey, I'm just trying to find narratives here. Or maybe, what if November 28th, it leaks, Shane, it leaks. Drake's going to Florida. And Missouri's like, oh, dude. I mean, is there a shot Arkansas wins one?
No, because what are you fighting for anymore? You know, I mean,
pride.
Seriously,
come on.
Seven losses in a row. It's like this locker room just met each other this offseason. You know, it's not like they just live and die Arkansas football. So the only thing I could say is that maybe a little interesting would be that Mizzou game, because they absolutely hate each other. It's a rivalry that's not a rivalry, you know, but they're going to make it one. And I feel like there's always a little extra in the tank for that game. So other than that, I don't know, man. It feels like the give up's already in.
Well, I wouldn't say give up, but I hear you.
I mean, I give up. Till they burn that sage through there, I ain't touching them.
Until they get that poltergeist out of there. But and I hate to say it, but you know, every week it looks like Talon Green is injured.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope he can remain healthy, but I mean, it's, remember, A&M, now this one. Shout out Gregory Grogan, Shane. The only job I could see Drink leaving for would be Arkansas. My reason is he's from there and his family. So keep that in your back pocket there, Shane. Mm. Remember we did the perfect hire for everybody? Yeah. All right, well, speaking of perfect, Shane, you know what was perfect?
What's that?
We went so long, we haven't even talked about one of the great rivalries in this sport. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Shane. Georgia does it again, comes from behind and beats them Gators 5 in a row now in this series. And man, this was a hard fought game. Florida had their chances, but it was 20-17 in the fourth quarter. Gators were up, but a Chauncey Bowen's 36-yard touchdown busted this open for them dogs, Shane. And hey, I keep saying eventually this is going to catch up to Georgia, right? Yeah. They can't. It's like that. You just can't keep getting away with this. You know what I mean? But they are. This is a gritty team, a tough team, and it doesn't matter if you know, they get five straight possessions where they barely get a first down. They are finding ways to get it done. They're making the plays when it matters. Kirby Smart's the best coach in the game. He proves that week in and week out. But I gotta ask, Shane. Mm-hmm. I gotta ask. Was it a catch? Because that's all I can remember from this game. For, you know, we'll be debating this for 10 years, I think.
It's hard not. I mean, I didn't see your ass. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, I wasn't there, and I don't know these super camera angles. Maybe they got that we don't. But I do think that was a catch.
I just think it's hilarious. Literally every Florida fan is like, that's obviously a catch. And then Georgia fans,
hell no, that is a catch.
Obviously not
Look
a catch.
Like,
how could so many people see the same thing and just have a completely different opinion? But it is what it is. I think it was clearly a catch, but I've heard this. They said this on NFL Network and I heard it other places. It shouldn't have come down to that. Because DJ had a guy wide ass open. And Kirby said it in the postgame, we got lucky. And he's not talking about the ref. He's talking about DJ's got a man. He's got a rocket arm. And he underthrew the hell out of it. And the receiver slipped or had to come back and slipped. And that's what led to the sequence of, was it a catch or wasn't. It should have been a walk-in touchdown that probably would. I don't know if it would have won the game for Florida, because Georgia, you know, they marched down the field and took a knee. So it may have not been the game winner, but for all we know, it could have been. So it really doesn't matter whether it was a catch or not. I think it should have been a touchdown. That was the play was not made, and you ain't going to ever beat Georgia if you can't get a walk-in touchdown converted. You know what?
And doesn't it seem like we always say that about a Florida game? Like, they could have had him if, you know, there's like, if he didn't throw, you know, if he threw four interceptions, maybe, you know. So, yeah, I do feel like that's the battle of if and buts for Florida Gators is in full effect. But what about Georgia, man? Just finding a damn way to win, even though it wasn't pretty. It's not been pretty. Wasn't pretty at Ole Miss. Wasn't pretty with Auburn. It wasn't pretty with Tennessee. But they find ways to win a football game, and I feel like that. There's not a stat line for that, but you talk about just finding maybe a little lady luck. Georgia's got it this year,
right? And again, now their schedule's tricky too, Shane.
Yeah.
Do you think this catches up? If they every game is, I mean, aside from Kentucky, I mean, every one of these conferences, Tennessee, Bama, Auburn, Ole Miss, now Florida, if they're getting into damn these, you know, where they're down in the fourth quarter against Mississippi State on the road, Texas coming to town, and Georgia Tech. I know Georgia Tech just lost,
yeah,
but they were undefeated. You know, are they going to drop a game? If they keep, or can they just keep doing this week in and week out, you think?
I really worry about them, man. Honestly, this point, maybe in years past, I'd say they're going to beat State. They'll beat Texas. They'll definitely beat Georgia Tech, you know. But now I'm sitting here. I'm like, man, State could be a good game. Texas could be a really good game. Georgia Tech could be a great game. You know, it's like we're kind of going back and forth on some of these, man. And I worry. Georgia's going to have to fight to the very end. I still think this is a playoff team, and that's maybe, you know, we look at Texas, we look at Vanderbilt, we look at some of these teams like Oklahoma, they got these two losses, they can't afford another one. Seems like they're playing with a little extra step, you know, just a little extra gear, and Georgia still has that mulligan, and I'm afraid that may bite them at one of these games.
Right, and shout out cousin Todd. He said, well, hell, Georgia's going to be favored in all these games, which is true.
Yeah.
But they've been they have literally been favored in every game.
Mike, I'm gonna pick probably Georgia to win all these games. Doesn't mean I think it's gonna happen. I mean, look at my record. They probably don't want me to pick them.
Right, but I mean, the point being, I mean, they could win the national championship.
Yeah,
they could lose two games.
Yes,
or anything in between, and I'd believe it with Georgia right now. You know, isn't that wild?
If Georgia needs, like, where did you have them in your power rankings? It had to be close to the top.
Number three.
So what would Georgia need to do to kind of kick it into that next gear, do you think? I mean, we did get a little more running going here. I felt like the defense played a little bit better this week. I mean, what does Georgia need to do to kind of get ready to make that playoff run?
I don't know that they can.
Yeah? They are who they are?
I mean, A&M and Bama, to me, look like they're in a class above.
Yeah.
Not doesn't mean they're going to be there at the end of the year, but hell, we've seen Bama beat Georgia at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you're not telling me if we saw, let's say in Atlanta, of course that is kind of home field for Georgia, but I would imagine the Aggies will travel well. If A&M and Georgia right now, if they suited up in Atlanta,
yeah,
you're not picking Georgia to win that, are you?
Mm-mm. No.
I'm not.
Not right now.
Right.
But they probably will win because they always win down there, you know?
Unless it's Bama, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Any thoughts on Florida? I know most of it's, you know, on the coaching search and everything like that. But,
mm-hmm.
again, they keep
fighting. I don't want to play them. I don't want to play them. You know what I'm saying?
Is there give in this team?
That's a good question. I feel like there was going to be a little bit of a little extra gas in the tank for this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know moving forward. Those two road games, especially Kentucky, Ole Miss, if you lose those, I feel like
I think Kentucky tells us everything we need to know about this team, whether they're going to fight the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been slaying coaches since they got in the league, you know?
We'll talk about it all week, but who do you think wants this one more? Kentucky at home or Florida?
Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They got a little, they're excited, man. They all went to Coach Stoops. I watched the highlights. There weren't too many of them, but you know, on the sideline, they all go to Coach Stoops. So he's a player's coach. They love him and they're playing for him.
First game Nick Roush hasn't covered in years and they win it. What's that tell you?
Yeah. He's the bad luck. You know what I mean? He'll need to get away from these games.
All right. Hey, we'll get to that in a minute, but we haven't given a shout out to them Rebels, Shane. Beat South Carolina 30-14. And this was kind of an ugly one too, Shane, where South Carolina opened a game with the first touchdown. I think the Ole Miss sleepwalking like they kind of do at times. Then they caught a little bit of fire there right before halftime, got up 17-7.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carolina hits them over the top. Oh, buddy, it's 17-14. We're cooking, right? We're going to make this a ball game. Nah, Ole Miss dominated the rest of it and won easily 30-14. So this is just kind of where we're at. I feel like, I think really for both these teams, Shane, where We got one that is humming at an elite level that looks like a national championship contender. Yes, I said national championship. And then we got another one that, like, can't get out of its own damn way and it can't find a way to do anything right, and fired their offensive coordinator. Probably should have done that about 2 months ago. But thoughts on Ole Miss, who, again, I thought this was like a C-ish type game, looking a little sloppy. Yet you cover and you win at home comfortably. Thoughts on Ole Miss 30, South Carolina 14.
Only South Carolina's offense can make Ole Miss defense look like the 85 Bears, you know? Oh, brother. There's a reason they fired their coach this week, right? You couldn't hide how embarrassing that was. And there were still moments. I mean, this was a bad game. I mean, if you ask me, since Washington State, this is probably the second worst game that I've seen Ole Miss, you know, just as a package, right, put on the football field. Trinidad didn't play his best. They had trouble just keeping the ball. I think they only had one third down conversion. So there was moments when Ole Miss was basically begging South Carolina to get in this game or at least make it competitive, and they just wouldn't. South Carolina's like, nah, we're good. We chalked it up. We're going to try again next year, you know? So, right. Yeah, that's just something that I saw. And, it was bad. And I just don't know what Shane – I mean, no, Shane Beamer's going to be under heat, you know, and I know he always feels defeated. I always feel bad. Out of all the coaches after a loss, I always feel bad for Beamer when I'm watching him. But, man, we got to start asking some serious questions. What are we doing here in Columbia? Because this is god-awful.
Right. And, again, tackling was an issue.
Yeah.
This is a couple times now. I'm thinking back to Missouri. But this one really killed. And I want to shout out to Calvin Lacey, Shane. 24 carries, 164 rushing yards. That's an elite day in this conference. Yep. But he was the difference in this one. He couldn't be tackled for a lot of the second half. But this was kind of the antithesis of what Carolina was last year. Yeah. They were the tough-nosed, physical. They would run the ball. I know they got smoked by Ole Miss last year, too. But, this is not a performance we would have seen from the Gamecocks last year. I think Sellers, this was his worst game. He threw multiple interceptions. They could not get the ground game going. Just a really, really pitiful performance. And just like a lost season for the Gamecocks, which is – it's devastating considering all the talent they have at quarterback and arguably at defensive end there. You know what?
Yeah. No, that's the key is we're going to be watching some of these kids get drafted and we're going to be watching them in the NFL and, you know, it'd be 5, 6, 7 years later. We're going to be like, damn, I forgot those guys were on the same team that didn't make a bowl game. But that's just kind of where we're at. And like I said, If I was to put like a team motto, it's missed opportunities. South Carolina has had opportunities all year long in multiple games, and they miss each and every one of them. So, one or two, maybe it's just bad luck, but three or four, then you got to start looking. Maybe there's a problem with this football team. And I feel bad for the fans, but yeah, Ole Miss, they find ways to win. This is going to be a team that's going to be dancing in the playoffs. I'm glad I put my life on the line for this squad because they keep moving forward, brother.
Hey, shout out cousin Chase Billum. Shane, still repping that power to you. Hell yeah. Said at the beginning of the year, 8-4, and that's still on the table. Still better than Dooley time. Hell, 9-3 still on the table.
Remember, dragging a stool out to the sideline. Little orange pants Dooley, the only cool thing he had going on for him, and he wore that out. So,
hey, how about Rampart Rob, Shane? Oklahoma, Texas in the playoff? Could you imagine?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but hell, if they make it, by God, that's a team I want to see play. So that'd be awesome. What would they call if they meet again? The Red River rivalry? The shootout's earlier in the year, so then they do the rivalry in the postgame.
Yeah.
Actually, Sankey got a little heat for calling it the Texas Oklahoma game. Yeah, he didn't even reference Red River.
Well, you know where they didn't reference offense?
What's that?
on the plains. Come on. Oh, buddy, if you suffer through this one, you are a hell of a fan. Shout out Kentucky goes on the road, beats Auburn 10-3, Shay, 10-3. What a barn burr is. Damn, I think the baseball game last night had more scoring than this damn game. Kentucky scored a field goal, and then, man, and again, it's not like Cutter Bowley, Shane, who's been, he's been showing so much promise.
Yeah.
He looked awful in this damn game.
Yep.
They got a field goal in the second, and then for some reason, I mean, they were generating nothing in the first half. Kentucky had 98 yards, and they were like, hey, here's a genius plan. Let's go two-minute drill right before halftime, and he just throws an ungodly interception, and then Auburn gets like two first downs, and they get a field goal right before half, and you're thinking, okay, maybe that'll give him some life. Nope. I mean, Kentucky scored a touchdown, Shane, with around 9 minutes in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That's all. That was the whole scoring for the whole damn game. I mean, this was just pitiful, pitiful offensive football. Bowley was throwing it up. Again, this is the Auburn drive charts. Like, good night. I mean, punt, 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 downs, field goal, punt, 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 interception. We're switching quarterbacks. Ashton Daniels got the start. We had to see his parents about 56 times on the parent cam. We got to take these people off. If you can't get a first down, you don't get to be on the parent cam. That should be a new rule. And then Kentucky, again, it wasn't much better. There was a video feed chain of Kentucky offensive coordinator Bush Hamden. He's up there like shaking his head, rubbing his hands in his face, saying, what in the hell is this kid doing out there? I mean, this was the ugliest, and I feel bad for Kentucky. Because now they think they got some momentum because they beat dog shit Auburn 10-3. And Auburn, I can't believe they waited 12 hours to fire their coach. Should have fired him like at halftime. But this was one of the worst games I ever watched in my life. And I don't think I'm ever going to forget how awful this was.
Yeah, I always remember that old school pride fight. And I'm terrible with names, but it's like Don Fry and that Chinese guy, Yoshiro Takayama. I don't know. Can you pull up my camera here for a second? Do you remember these two going at it? And then they just like get together and they just keep punching each other in the face for like 2 minutes. It's like one of the wildest videos you ever seen. And that's kind of what I felt like watching this game was just Auburn and Kentucky just sitting there at the 50-yard line punching each other in the face and nobody's giving up. This was a tough watch, man. It was a tough watch. Kentucky's defense, they give 7 sacks. I mean, Kentucky's getting 7 sacks, you know? You're bouncing around quarterbacks on Auburn side.
Kentucky had, I think, 11 sacks on the season.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze at halftime called his wife and said, go ahead and get me some more tea times, because he knew exactly what's going to happen after this thing, you know? He gets there and he says, we're this close, and he keeps referencing the mistakes in early games. It's like, Hugh, what are you doing? If you made those early mistakes, right, we can get behind. We can defend that, right? But I'm watching an Auburn football team that has gotten worse every week, especially on offense. And guess what? Hugh Freeze coaches offense. So it was offensive watching this. It was embarrassing, and I feel bad for Auburn fans. He does that infamous rant, you know? And they came out here they paid all their money to watch you. It's like, they came out here to watch this? Damn, they should have fired him. They should have just put him down right there at the 50-yard line. Just give him his pink slip on the way out.
And how about this, Shane? I saw the statistic online.
Yeah.
Shout out Auburn. Shane, you probably have no clue about this because I didn't either, but there are 3 teams in all of college football that have yet to give up 24 points. So basically their defense is holding everybody to 23 or less all season long. Auburn's one of them. Do you have any idea who 1 and 2 are this year?
Hasn't given up 24 points.
Right. And not one game.
And not one game.
They're not SEC, so you probably don't know.
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
Literally number one and number two in the country, Indiana and Ohio State. So basically, Auburn, you have a national championship caliber defense. If you can just average 24 points per game, you would be undefeated right now.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that? And I'm looking it up. How many points? If you average 24 points per game, Shane, we are talking the 93rd best offense in the country.
Yeah.
Liberty, which is where Hugh Freeze was, they're scoring 24.1. They're 91st in the country. Auburn is, I mean, just awful, awful on offense. 104th. They're averaging 22. So not far off. If they just scored one more safety a game, Shane, this is a damn undefeated Auburn team. And I mean, that just says it all, doesn't it?
Well, let's do this, Mike. Let's say we at the start of the season, you never were a big Hugh Freeze fan. And I told you, Mike, I can guarantee you that Oklahoma only scores 24, A&M only scores 16, Georgia only scores 20, Mizzou 23, Arkansas 24, Kentucky 10. That out of those, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, what is Auburn's record? What would you say?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Really? Oh, okay. Oklahoma 24. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M 16, Georgia 20, Mizzou 23, Arkansas 24, Kentucky 10. What would be Auburn's record? If I guarantee you that was going to be the point scored against them, what would you have Auburn at during that 5-game stretch?
I would think at worst like 4-1.
Yeah, yeah. Same. I'm right there with you. 4-1, and man, that Arkansas was close, you know. But that's where we're at. And then you watch this offense, and that's the thing. You went out and you got your quarterback. This isn't a kid that was there when you stepped in. No, you said, hey, I want this kid to come down here. You've benched him. You've put him back out there. It's a carousel of just mediocrity, and it's – no reason you're fired. Hugh Freeze probably should have been the first one gone. I don't know why I've defended him this long.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Just because I knew the team was talent. But is that more Hugh Freeze or is that more Auburn? And the more I'm thinking about it, I think that may just be Auburn.
Yeah, I think it is. That's why I said they should fire his ass, get a quality coach, they're going to be just fine, which they will be. But I don't know if Kentucky's going to be fine, Shane. Again, they won. Credit them. They got to the third win. Now this game is going to be huge this week against Florida at home.
Yep.
You got to get it. Tennessee Tech, you should beat the hell out of them. And then it comes down to Vanderbilt, Louisville. You just got to win one. And if we can get to 6-6, I think Stoops is back.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're back. Stoops ain't going nowhere, but it'd be nice if you're going to keep them to have some success, you know?
Well, I would disagree with you, Shane.
Yeah.
If they lose to Florida, they're losing to Vanderbilt. They're losing to he's gone.
All right, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to like throw my hat in the ring with all these openings right now because it's not just the SEC. You got Virginia Tech. You got Oklahoma State. You've got Penn State. There's so many other ones that are floating around. Seems like we're paying them anyway. Let's wait one more season. I know. It doesn't make sense, but
what if I were to tell you? Now, this is not going to sound too optimistic, right? But
yeah,
the guy that apparently they're after,
yeah,
they wouldn't have to pay him. They wouldn't have to beat out a lot of schools for him. His name's Will Stein. Apparently is the hot name up there.
Yeah,
he's the Oregon offensive coordinator. So maybe he's the mastermind behind Oregon.
Hmm.
You know, again, are they going to break the bank to get that guy? Are they going to have to beat Auburn for him? Are they going to have to beat LSU for him? I would not think so.
I don't know. Unless Phil Knight's coming with him, I don't want to hear it.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
The Steiner recliner. Yeah, let's do it, baby.
I mean, he could be the next Steve Spurrier for all we know. You know what?
Yeah, you never know. You never know, man.
He's the man. Shout out MV. He's the man behind the duck.
Oh!
All right, Shane, week 11.
Yes.
Opening lines, buddy.
Let's get it.
Nothing. No, wait. We do got one. We got one non-SEC game. There's no line. It's Ole Miss Citadel. If there was a line, what do you think? I'm just curious. What would the line?
49.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, down there in sleepy Oxford, I don't know if they'll cover 30, to be honest with you. I think they'll put in the second string. All right, how about, speaking of Auburn, Auburn at Vanderbilt. What's the opening line?
Vanderbilt, 4.5.
6.
Okay.
I think it moved because we fired Hugh Freeze. He can't beat Diego, you know what?
That's right.
How about Georgia?
Yeah.
At Mississippi State, trap game.
Yes, yes. I'd still say Georgia, 8.5.
Damn, you're good. 8.
Okay.
Florida at Kentucky.
Ooh. Florida, 3.5.
You're cheating.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you got it. How about LSU?
Yeah.
At Alabama.
Give me Bama by 7.
11.
Ooh. Oh.
I like the points there.
I like
there.
That one. Yeah.
All right. Final game. A&M.
Yes.
At Missouri.
Ooh. Give me A&M 2-3. 7.
I like that.
Is that where game
too.
Day's at?
No, I think they're like Texas Tech or something stupid.
Drink pissed them off.
And then SEC Nations at Georgia, Mississippi State.
Damn.
That's pretty interesting, don't you think?
It's drink running that mouth. Got them in trouble.
Maybe that. They've been up there a couple times. LSU, Alabama. They've been in Alabama, I think, a couple
Has
times.
Has he been promoting sling or something? You know?
Maybe. I hope Rick does it, Shay. He gave us $50.
Hey, thank you, cuz.
To all the Texas fans, I encourage you to practice calling A&M four-letter words. You need to practice saying boss. Giga, beat the hell out of Missouri, Shane.
Thank you, cuz.
And then I've been keeping track of these, so I want to give a shout-out, Shane, to all the cousins.
Yes.
We got Steven up. Appreciate you, buddy. Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you, cuz.
We're showing up.
Doing up.
Boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gives it Joe Perry. Joe, welcome.
Welcome to the family.
And then Hatchet, the Hatchet Man. He gifted a membership, Shane, to dun, 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 Brandon Upchurch.
Brandon, welcome
to the family. Thank you, Hatchet.
Luke Ott became a member.
Luke welcome to the family.
Brandon Rodarte, Shane gave us $5. Offensive line, Texas, getting better each week.
Yeah.
Arch looks comfortable, playing with a lot of confidence. Welcome. That may be the biggest story of the week here.
Yeah.
Aside from Hugh Freeze getting fired, and maybe Oklahoma winning. But just the fact that... Now, do you think that's Texas getting better, or is that Vanderbilt maybe doesn't have the athletes? Because I think A&M and Georgia's got the athletes to get after them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think – well, I did see improvement. That's the thing is the big uglies. We talked about that on the firing of Hugh Freeze episode. I just feel like we haven't been talking about that near as much. And when you're starting to see some of those units emerge, those are the ones that are going to have success late November here.
Yeah. I don't know, Shane. I don't know.
What are you? You hate fat people? Go ahead and say it.
No, I mean, this is why I picked Texas to win a game, because you got one team uber talented that has to win, and then you got one team. I don't know if there's a single player on Vanderbilt that they would take over Texas, maybe the tight end.
Yeah.
So you got a massive talent advantage. You're playing at home. You got to win. This other team doesn't any of that apply. Can afford to lose. I don't know. That was too easy. That was too easy of a pick, I feel like. I think it's a little smoke and mirrors. And again, I'm the one saying, you know, I haven't been piling on Arch too bad. I think he's talented, but I think playing Vanderbilt and playing A&M and Georgia, I think those are two very different things.
Okay.
I said that for JR. Shout out, JR.
Hey.
The legend, cousin JR, has done it again.
Thank you, cuz.
Gifted Jared. Jared, welcome.
Welcome to the family.
And that all day Trey, Shay. You can't stop all day Trey.
No.
You can't. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't stop him.
No.
He's gifting. He gifted Brian Frederick, Joey Bell. Joey and Frederick. Welcome.
Welcome to the family.
And then Shin. Uh-oh. Oh, wait. I think I missed one, too. Shin gifted 5, Shane.
Hell yeah, Shin. Thank you.
Shelly, Comic Book Tales, Fishing Football, Ellerman, JW, Omar, Odyssey, Markov. Hopefully I didn't butcher any of those.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of Shin.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't want to get out of bed early this morning. I said, what would Trey do? He'd get up and get at it.
And then I apologize. I missed Jason James. He gifted one. We appreciate you, Jason.
Appreciate you, cuz.
Augustus Palmer, Texas sucks. Boomer.
We support hate messages here.
All right. I think that's all of them, Shane. Anything else before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, so wife knows I love Christmas, you know, and I can always tell. So she's already, I know it's probably too early, but we've already got a tree up, huh? We already started doing the Christmas decorate. Like, forget Thanksgiving. We're jumping right into this thing. So
you should have her decorate your background a little bit.
It will be. That's what all this is. So I just didn't want to do it on doom and gloom because I got to talk about Oklahoma. So I was like, I'm going to get that out of the way. Then we can flush it. We can move to the next week. So I'll be working on the Christmas theme. So I appreciate JP putting today's shout outs together. Today's shout outs go to Liquid Flames, Brandon Roderick, Brandon Norwood, Hughes Hookers, Michael Dunlap, Stephen Up, Hatchet, Cousin JR, Trey Drawdy, Cousin Rick, Jason James, Augustus Palmer, Chase Malam. And Shin, thank you all. Thank you, cuz. Thank you, JP, for putting that together. And thank you all for taking your time to hit that little thumbs up on your way out. It really does help us out. And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We got a lot of action heading your way. The smart guy's going to be in town. And, man, notifications, have them on. We got coaches getting fired left and right. We don't know who's next. But we'll be sure to jump on and tell you what our thoughts about it.
Yeah, and I promise to be a lot more positive now that Hugh Freeze is out of this damn league. Great day for all of us. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.